Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, all. It's Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 11th, 2011, episode 116, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Well, howdy, Jamie.
Howdy, Glenn. How the heck are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We had a good weekend. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. We had some fun. We bought some stuff. We have to give you the report.
I can't wait to hear the shopping report, but we have to get directly to the news. Uncle Mo ran in the Wood Memorial this week. He, of course, is the favorite and has been for months coming up to the Kentucky Derby. This was his final prep race before the Derby. How did he do?
And they're off in the Wood Memorial. Uncle Mo got off to a good start, and he's right up there early on. Isn't he perfect there on the far outside? Duke is in between those two and Starship Cruiser, or rather Starship Caesar, down toward the inside. As they turn for home, isn't he perfect right alongside him? And now Johnny Velasquez says go with Uncle Mo. He's got the lead by a length and a half. Here comes Arthur's Tail coming on the far outside. Can Uncle Mo do it? On the outside, it's Arthur's Tail. Arthur's Tail has gone past the two-year-old champion. Late run down toward the inside. Toby's Corner. Toby's Corner. Toby's Corner wins. Arthur's Tail was second. And in the most shocking defeat in the Wood Memorial since Secretariat himself, Uncle Mo trudges home third. The Kentucky Derby is up for grabs.
Oh, yeah. The Kentucky Derby is up for grabs. You hear that? Although, I love the comparison to Secretariat. That just gave me goosebumps because if you remember from seeing the movie, Secretariat, she promised everybody he would win, and then he lost the Wood Memorial, but came back to win the Triple Crown. I did laugh, too, Jennifer, at that part about he trudges home. Whatever, he's going like 40 miles an hour.
Trudges.
Absolutely hauling butt coming around that turn, and he led the whole entire way. I did think it was funny, too. When you're watching the beginning, obviously Glenn edited that down to, you know, the beginning and end. Otherwise, that would have been a quarter horse race. but he comes up, breaks out of the gate, and he's talking about is Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo breaks good. Uncle Mo does this. Uncle Mo does that. Isn't he perfect on the outside? And I was like, well, that's a little bit whatever. Like, he's perfect. Then I realized that the horse's name is Isn't He Perfect. I was like, okay. Like, all he keeps talking about is, isn't he perfect on the outside? They're just, like, he's running along. Great spot. So that's where thoroughbred horse names get a little bit confusing at times. But, yes, Uncle Mo, third in the Wood Memorial. Of course, they came out afterwards telling us that basically he had grabbed himself. His hind foot grabbed his front foot and bled a little bit. So even he ran third, much like our friend Mucho Macho Man, with a little bit of trouble. So we are going to go into the race. Probably the only thing that did, he'll probably still be favorite, but the only thing that did was make the odds a little bit better. And his owner, Mike Rapoli, has said, well, at least we'll get a better price on him in the Derby. That's all he cares about.
Well, that's true. That is true. That's true. He won't be 1-1 anyway. So
No. He's like 1-9.
You always worry about, you know, when you have a leader that's so far ahead, it's not actually a great thing when your odds are, you know, almost 1-1. Well, you know, at that end of that race, those two horses that ended up coming 1 and 2 came from the outside way back. So they put on a good run at the end there.
They sure did. Those are always the most exciting. It's like the Zenyatta finish, you know, the horses that are coming from the end. And you're looking at the one, you're looking at Uncle Mo, he's going. You're like, whoa, where'd those horses come from?
I know.
I had to watch it again to go, where were those guys?
Well, and we're going to have a lot more racing news. There's a lot of racing news. We're going to do that during our weekend roundup later in the show. And you have perhaps the next Zenyatta that's coming from an unusual part of the world that you're going to talk about later on in the show as well. And get this, I have the equestrians that have been invited to the royal wedding. So we're going to go over that too. But first, Jennifer, before I get in trouble again.
On today's show, we're going to start out with Amy Bowman from the Gladstone Combined Driving Event. Many of you out there listening will recognize that name because Gladstone in New Jersey is the former United States Equestrian Team headquarters, and they now have competitions there as well as golf. So she's going to be stopping by to give us the lowdown on what's coming up in that combined driving show. And being Monday and all, we're going to spend a good part of our day catching up on the weekend's adventures. And boy, oh boy, it sounds like it was an adventure for everybody.
Yeah. All right.
It sure was.
Well, here we go. Well, our first daily Winnie is to Lisa Bike, who we were supposed to meet up with on Saturday over at Equine Affair. She was there as well, one of our avid listeners, and we missed her. We ended up leaving about 2 o'clock, and she texted. They had just gotten there a little while earlier, so we ended up missing her. But I saw on her Facebook page that she took a spill. Her horse, Chevy, who I think she's actually called and talked about before, is 17 hands, and they had a little bit of an issue on her driveway. Took a spill and got beat up, but is okay. But, boy, she had pictures of her knee, and it's nasty looking. So, Lisa, to a quick recovery, we're wishing you our best here from Horses in the Morning.
I wasn't sure how the whole petite lap giraffe thing was going to go over when I found it on the website, and then everybody accused me of believing that I could actually purchase one. I'm still holding on to the fact that they might exist because there's a new Comcast commercial with the petite lap giraffe that's on the treadmill. Have you seen that one?
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
No, I haven't seen the new one.
It's a new one. It's a guy sitting in the chair, and somebody's working out, and they've got, like, his muscles are attached via cables and circuits to the other guy's muscles, so while the other guy's working out, he's getting bigger. And over on the treadmill, right next to him on the ground, is the petite lap giraffe that is running on the treadmill with a towel around his neck, watching TV with giraffes on it. So you've got to see that Comcast commercial. But the point of this whole story is that my daily Winnie today goes out to Emily, who actually made me have one of those spit takes where you're drinking a cup of coffee and you spit it out of your nose because you laugh so hard. She posted, "I just listened to Wednesday's show. Thanks for informing me that I live in a world where Kegasus actually exists, but tiny lap giraffes don't. Sigh. Not sure what to do with my life now. It all seems so pointless." Girl, I feel you. The fact that there's some stupid drunk guy with a beer belly with a horse body and a human head. If you do not know what we're talking about, go back and listen to last Wednesday's show. I read your comment and it just made me want to go back to bed. The fact that the tiny lap giraffe doesn't exist in some people's world and Kegasus does is just, it's just horrifying. I'm embarrassed.
I should have really kept that Kegasus commercial handy for times like this. I did.
Yeah. Now, again, what is Kegasus for those who may just be joining us?
A Kegasus is a promotion for a half man, half horse with a beer belly and really ugly promotion for the infield at the at the second of the Kentucky Derby races, the Preakness there in Maryland. So, yeah, it's to encourage people to come out and get drunk in the infield. That's pretty much what it is.
And you know what? I started to realize that that actually might be true. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show, and if you're, you know, underage or sensitive, do not watch it, but it's called Tosh.0 on Comedy Central. And he basically plays a ton of clips from the internet and then makes fun of people. And they were showing a guy that climbed up on the top of a row of porta potties and was jumping from porta potty to porta potty. And then there was like a 6-foot span to the next row, and he goes to dive from one porta potty to the other one, obviously ends up in a heap on the ground. And Tosh.0 then informs everybody that that was a video taken from the Preakness last year. Okay. Apparently Kegasus might actually exist.
Telling you, it makes Mardi Gras look tame. Really, really tame. Hey, before we go on and talk about our weekends, I want to say hi to Robert. Robert, who had just posted that he's listening live this morning. So hello, Robert. We hope everything's well in the north and you finally warmed up a little bit. Hey, we had a great time this weekend. We were out at Equine Affair in Ohio, spent a couple of days there. And thank you to Jackie from Regarding Horses. She got us some tickets and things for the Pfizer Fantasia, and we got to hang out with her for a good bit. That was very nice. We got to meet her whole family, so that was fun too. We got to see a bunch of people we know. Reese Koffler Stanfield was there. I posted a picture there. She was doing clinics, and I posted a picture on our Facebook page of well, she dragged me down to help out with a demonstration at one of her clinics, and I wanted to thank her for that. She gave us quite a build-up at the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning show, so we appreciate that. And then we got to see her ride in Pfizer Fantasia, which is the – if you don't know what that is, it's the show they put on in the evenings. I don't know, Jennifer, how would you describe it? It's the spectacle show they put on in the evenings with a bunch of different acts. And
I don't know, Glenn, about any other year, but this year it's put at combine horses with the phrase "that's just crazy."
Yes, there were some crazy moments of Pfizer Fantasia. Now, I would say that Reese's wasn't one of them. She actually did her
freestyle,
her freestyle test, but she used music from the Muppets, and it was really cute. She did a great job with it. And you know, one of the things they do at Pfizer Fantasia, because it's a show, it's an event, it's a spectacle, is they darken the lights for a lot of the acts, and they use spotlights. Well, she said the first night her horse and her went in there, it was the first time she'd ever done that with spotlights, and the rest of the building's completely dark. So she said it freaked him out a little, but he did terrific the second night we were there. He was great, and she did a tremendous job with that, really wooed the crowd, and of course the music just made it a whole lot of fun. And, of course, that's Reese Koffler-Stanfield from Cooking with Reese segment that we do, popular segment here on Horses in the Morning, so that was a lot of fun. But the Prefert Percheron hitch definitely caused some attention. They had 8 Percherons there that were enormous. The biggest one, I posted that on Facebook, a lot of talk about that one, was 19 and a half hands, and he weighed almost 2,400 pounds. He was huge. I mean, we had one at just over 18 hands of Percheron, and we thought he was big. That extra 4 inches, Jamie, makes a big difference, let me tell you. This horse was just huge. But they drove him in the wagon. They did something. They brought the hitch in with all the horses and everything, just like you see the Budweisers do. But they did something I had never seen in an arena with a big – was it 6 or 8 hitch, Jennifer?
6 or 8.
Six horse hitch. They actually spun out that wagon. He was going so fast around those turns and made such a sharp turn – he spun the whole back end of the wagon over. The poor lady was sitting on it, was hanging on for dear life. it didn't tip over, but we heard later from friends that he has tipped it over doing that at events before. but I mean, I have never seen one where the back end just swings out and the whole thing just, you know, just spins out on the back end with dirt flying and everything. It was impressive. And then he comes in later in the show to end the show, Roman riding on the back two of six Percherons. It was incredible. He was Roman riding, no pads. You know how sometimes they have the sticky pads? He had nothing. He just had the reins to the front horses, and that was it. Six horses, and I posted a picture of that too. That was really, truly incredible. I had never seen anything like that. Apparently, they do it a lot. That's just nuts. That's just plain crazy. Just crazy. Ugh.
Yeah. So was obviously that was your favorite part, was the Percheron things. But now you talked about the final show, the Fantasia thing, because I've never been to Equine Affair. The Fantasia thing being the culmination at the end of the show of everything. What were some of the crazy things? I mean, I've seen Equitana, where they do, like, the Roman riding, and then Ramon Becerra does the riding the Frisian and driving the Mini. Anything like that?
Yeah, it was all things like that. That's what the whole night was. They had a Mini show. They had a Mini show, and then they had these, and I'm gonna get letters, I know. What were the weird ones that had the plank, Jennifer?
They weren't weird ones. They did a demonstration from the Pasifinos, and they did a demonstration where they compete and they ride the horse onto a hard surface, and apparently they use like a plank of plywood. And somehow or another, the rate of footfalls has something to do with the competition, and that's why they use the wood. But unfortunately, they had these really beautiful costumes and these lovely show horses who were so amped up. They had those horses plugged into a 220 outside the arena. You can guarantee it. They were so amped up. But I think about three-quarters of the audience had no idea what they were doing or why they were doing it, because there was no voiceover. So we were all sitting there a little bit confused, but I have never seen horse hooves move so fast in my life.
Oh my God. I was laughing so hard I was falling off my chair. It was the funniest thing to see those hooves it was unbelievably funny. And I'd never seen the Pasifinos in a show before or whatever they do. And it was hilarious. Just their feet go so darn fast. And they don't move. It's just, you know, they're going really slow, but their feet are going 90 miles an hour, sort of like tap dancers. And that's the point. They're trying to get the sound across like you would a tap dancer, I guess. But, boy, oh, boy, it was hilarious.
Note to Pasifino folks, give the rest of the world a voiceover so we know what you're doing.
And you know what? You can give us a call at 347-637-3238 and tell us exactly what the point is, because I kind of missed it. But it was funny. It was hilarious. But they had all that kind of stuff. And of course, I got to visit with some people we hadn't seen in a while. Julie Goodnight. We got to see. This is one of those fun things too. Jennifer, tell them about the other event we saw where the mule won.
The mule won?
Didn't you say a mule won?
Oh, okay. I thought you said the mule won when you said, in fact, said the.
Oh no.
Okay, got it.
Sorry.
I was out of context. We watched the versatile horse and rider competition, which is loosely based on Craig Cameron's extreme cowboy racing,
mm-hmm.
but this one also has a horsemanship aspect to it. So they take the speed, and then they also give you a horsemanship score, and you go over all these really crazy obstacles. You have to back your horse through an L-shaped heap of straw, and then you have to jump over some jumps and all kinds of stuff. But it was a hoot. These are just regular folks doing this thing with these horses, and it was really hilarious. And apparently, I can't find anywhere who the winner was. It was a big deal. You got like $2,500. And I can't find anywhere, even on the Equine Affair Facebook page, who won, because we only got to see the qualifier round. So we're dying to know, listeners. Tell us, who won?
Well, and I got to tell you, Jamie, one of my favorite parts of the weekend, and this is a shout out goes to Tammy Sarantz, our host of the Western Radio Show, one of the favorite parts of the weekend was they did a shooting demonstration, mounted shooting demonstration from the Ohio Mounted Shooting Club. What a riot! I want to go watch Tammy do this. Have you ever seen it in person?
No. The idea of sitting in an arena while people are shooting guns in my direction just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was a blast. We just had a blast watching that. It was fun. I want to go. The Nationals are this week down in Tennessee. I want to go. I want to go watch because we just had so much fun. I just love it. So I give Tammy a shout-out because what she does is so cool.
I must admit, though, in Jamie's defense, the riders fly around the arena doing different patterns, shooting balloons with pistols and or rifles that we know have no ammunition in them, and that it's black powder. And what did he say was in there with it? I want to say oatmeal, but that wasn't it. Cornmeal?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Something to pack it in. But there's nothing that's going to come out of there except a little bit of fire and air. And at one point in one of the courses, depending on whether the rider was shooting towards the front of the horse or turning around backwards in the saddle and shooting behind him, yes, they do that, sometimes some of the riders were shooting directly at us. And I couldn't help the couple of times that happened. I really jumped out of my seat and flinched, even though I knew there was no ammunition in that gun. But still, somebody pointing something and shooting,
Oh, it would scare me, that's for sure. So, that Tammy was not there. That's just kind of what she does.
That's what she does, right. And, you know, we got to see probably what would be considered the middle level of that, and I can't imagine what the really true, you know, true professionals like Tammy, they're riding at the higher levels. It's just incredible how fast they go, how accurate they are. And, you know, they're riding a pattern in between balloons. They have to shoot out 10 balloons. They have two pistols, five shots in each pistol. So they have to change pistols halfway through the pattern. And these are the kind of pistols you have to cock with your thumb. So you have to cock before you shoot each time. And they're shooting fast. So it was fun. It was a good time. Enjoyed seeing it. Enjoyed seeing the costumes. That was fun, too. Hey, and of course, Equine Affair is also known for shopping. We did. I got to say, I spent more money than Jennifer. I have to admit it.
Really?
He was a shopping fool, Jamie. Jeez.
But you know what? After having been with the two of you up in Philadelphia at that trade show, I do realize that, Jennifer, you are definitely the saver, where Glenn would be the spender. So that really actually doesn't surprise
I've
me.
I've busted.
It is horse stuff. So being a horse husband, what did you find at Equine Affair?
Well, I got to tell you, we found I came across the deal at Equine Affair. They had Ariat Cobalt paddock boots for $69 at the one stand. So down from like 160 or 150, 160 bucks. So we each bought a pair. So we got two pairs for the price of one. So that was a good deal. I've got a new belt and all that, but forget all that crap.
You didn't just get a belt.
I got a belt with bling, Jamie. I got a little bit of silver on there. I got a bling belt.
Nice. To go with your Ed Hardy shirts that you wear.
That's right. And then, with my sneakers, now with my new Ariat paddock boots, go look at our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and you'll see I just posted a picture of my favorite purchase of the weekend, by far, hands down.
Your coffee mug?
I got my new coffee mug, and that the size is not appreciated in that picture. It holds like a gallon, and it says Trail Boss on it.
That's awesome. Way to go. You really splurged.
That was my big
purchase
of the weekend, right?
Some people's big purchase at Equine Affair would be a horse or a trailer or a truck. You bought your big purchase was a giant coffee mug. Congratulations.
You know something though? We went through the entire horse trailer exhibit. And frankly, we were a little disappointed. There wasn't anything in there that was like, oh, wow, that's really cool and new, or, oh, they've never tried doing that before. But then on our way out, we came across one horse trailer sitting smack in the middle of all the food stands. Okay, why are you there? And it's a new outfit. They don't even have them in production yet, so the one they had there was actually their demo model that has some really cool, oh, my goodness, this has been designed by a horse person features in it. And we're going to do a little piece with them here on a couple of the shows, just because it's fascinating old technology that's being applied to a horse trailer. You look at it and go, well, why didn't somebody think of that 15 years ago kind of things? But we're not going to bring them on until they're ready for production, because I don't want to talk all about it, get everybody excited, and then have it be like the lab giraffe and you have to wait 16 years till you get your trailer or your giraffe. So look for them coming up soon.
Jennifer, I'm only 327,000 deep on the waiting list for the petite lab giraffe, so
now,
it's going to happen.
Did you order extras? I ordered two, just because I know it's going to take so long.
Did I order what?
Did you order one or two? I went ahead and ordered two. I think, you know, if I'm going to wait that long, I'm going to get an extra, because the resale on that sucker is going to be something else.
Well, you wouldn't want to sell it because it's going to be your best friend.
Hello.
I have two. One for best friend and one for
and one
resale.
To sell on eBay. Can you imagine the market on eBay for petite lap drafts?
Oh, you guys are killing me. It's going to come. Don't worry. I'll get my petite lap giraffe. Well, I'm glad you guys had such a good weekend. I find it amazing that, you know, horse people in the Horse Radio Network, and this is just, this is the epitome of horse people, is you'll leave your horse behind to go on a horse vacation. So, like Chad, please. He's like, if we do anything, can it not involve horses when we go on vacation?
I got to admit, I have said that in the past, though, Jamie. I'm guilty of saying we're going on this vacation and we're not touching a horse.
Yeah.
I have said that in the past. That's a horse.
And then you're like, can we go on the ride that takes the horses down into the volcano and then goes around the rim of, you know, the Grand Canyon or wherever? Yeah, it never works, Glenn. We're always going to find horses somewhere. Chad knows that, too.
True.
He just tries.
That's true. That's so true.
Well, I just want to let you guys...
You took a lesson on Friday, didn't you?
I took a riding lesson. I had an exciting Saturday. I am just, like, thrilled with my weekend. I had a great weekend, even though I didn't really travel. But first of all, I want to tell you about today's sponsor, Glenn. So why don't you go ahead and do the ad, and then if we have time before our first guest, I'll give you a little taste.
Well, Helena, Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And I have on the line here Kyle Carter, who is an international eventer and well-known throughout the eventing world, who uses Omega Alpha products. Kyle, I understand that you started using Omega Alpha about a year ago.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year and have noticed a remarkable difference in the horses that have been on it. And then if they've come off of it, the horse's health always has been better on it. It's one of the few supplement companies that I wholeheartedly believe in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You know, Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for all of their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
And, Jamie, I wanted to remind everybody that Omega Alpha is going to be making their rounds. They will be at Rolex and a bunch of other events coming up here this month. That's what Patty had Patty on last week talking about that. So you're going to find them at a bunch of events. We saw them. They were there over the weekend as well at Equine Affair. So we're looking forward to visiting with them when we hit Rolex at the end of the month.
Yeah, I'm so excited about Rolex. I can hardly stand it. I'm about packed right now. So, just to let you know, I decided on Saturday night, we got invited to go with some friends to there is a segue here, because on Saturday night we got invited to go to a casino here in Arizona, and thank God casinos are not located close to my house. This one's about an hour away, the one we went to, so it's not like I can just make like a lunch run to the casino, thank goodness, because I love gambling. It's bad. I love playing blackjack more than like anything. I think it's so fun.
Jamie, you and I can never get together. Jennifer will not allow it, because I am also in the same way. I love gambling and I love blackjack.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Like, I like playing so much that I just sit there and I'm like, where's the ATM? You're a guaranteed winner at the ATM. That is what I like about casinos. You're always going to get money out of the ATM.
Well,
so
maybe.
Saturday night. Yeah, exactly, until you run out. So Saturday night, Chad and I got invited to go to a casino, and I just thought, okay, you know, I'm going to take my – I've been stashing away cash that I make for riding lessons in my piggy bank, and I've been using that. It's going to be my Rolex spending money, my trade fair money. So
did you blow
I thought,
all your trade fair money?
Well, let me just dip into my trade fair money and see if I can make some more. I'm going to make some more money. So I dip into my piggy bank, and I grab some cash, and we go to the casino, and Chad and I sit down. He's got his money, and I've got my money, and we're going to, you know, kind of share it. Like, if I run out, he'll give me some money. If he runs out, I'll give him some. But we've got a budget. We've budgeted money for the evening. I'm going to tell you something, Glenn. I've been to casinos where you sit down, and in 10 minutes, your money's gone, and you have the whole entire evening to sit there and be mad.
Yep.
This was definitely not that kind of night. Holy cow. Chad and I could not lose. The Arizona Casino Division, they are going to see us coming, and they're going to shut their doors. We were like on fire. We gambled. We went to dinner, and then we gambled for an hour and a half. And I both walked out of there with $850 extra.
Wow.
Woo! What's up,
holy
baby?
Cow. You
I
both
know.
Walked out of there with $850 extra?
We both ended up, I mean, granted, let me back up a little bit because I am at the $5 table.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
yeah, I know.
I'm not sitting down at the high roller section or nothing, okay? I mean, it's like, there's a seat open at the $5 blackjack. Okay, I'll sit down. That's a lot of winning to make, you know, that much money on a $5 table. So Rolex is going to be fun. Because now I have some extra spending cash, and I need to put together a shopping list. Yeah, we made money at the casino. How freaking cool is that?
Now, the key is, between now and Rolex, which is coming up very quickly, you can't go back to the casino. See, that's the important part.
Well, I told him, I said, honey, either we can take this money, I'll take my share and spend it, and you can take your share, or we can double or nothing and go to Vegas for the weekend.
See, that's the problem right there.
Like,
you realize Jennifer's never going to let you and I go together to Vegas. You realize that, don't you?
I'm like, let's go to Vegas, baby. We got spending money. He's like, shut up.
All right, let's get to our first guest, and then we're going to hear more about your weekend coming up. And also, we're going to have the weekend roundup, all the news stories that we've gathered from around the internet over the weekend. Some interesting ones. A lot of racing stories this week, as you would think, with the Derby coming up. But first, we're going to our first guest. Her name is Amy Bowman, and she is representing the Gladstone Driving Event. Of course, Gladstone is one of the coolest places. If you're a horse person and like history, that is one of the coolest places in the country. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Tell us a little bit, before you get into the driving event, of course, everybody knows I love driving, but tell us a little bit before you get into the driving event about Gladstone.
The Gladstone event hosted its first, the Gladstone organization hosted its first event at the Hamilton Farms in 1977. And at that point, the competitors were driving the antique vehicles. Not quite the vehicles that we see now. And then the second event wasn't held there, the second Gladstone driving event wasn't held there until 1982. And that was under the direction of Barbara Caperson and the Hunterdon County Horse and Pony Association. And then it wasn't until 1985 that the Gladstone Equestrian Association was established. But Pine Meadow itself was started back in 1911 with James Cox Brady, started building his country estate there. And then before his death, the estate actually grew to 5,000 acres. And they started holding events there in the 1970s.
So now, and this, for people who haven't seen it, is a beautiful place.
Oh my goodness! It's a gorgeous facility. It's the home of the United States Equestrian Team. They have their ring and their horses, And unfortunately, with the financial situation, some of the property did sell a couple years ago to a golf course, but it's a beautiful, beautiful golf course, and they left enough room for us to get around with the horses, and they don't seem to mind seeing the horses. Obviously,
I was going to say, can you ride across the green?
They don't light us on the putting green.
I was going to say, every single horse person in the world, their dream, horse girls, is to ride down the fairway across the green. You know,
very, very tempting.
Well, there is one,
I imagine.
There is one golf course in America that I know for a fact you get to ride through it anytime you want.
Oh, my
gosh.
What's
that?
Up at Myopia. Now, mind you, it's the path, but it's the same path the golf carts use.
Oh, that is right.
That is true. The Myopia Club, up in Massachusetts. So
it's
now, this
same.
Driving...
That's not galloping down a green.
That's not galloping down the fairway, no.
Now, tell us, this driving event that's coming up, is this an actual combined driving event? What's coming up?
Well, what we're having to start with, because it's the only dates that we could get was a little bit earlier in the season, so the footing is still a little wet up here in New Jersey. So what we're doing is we're having a horse driving trial, which is kind of a mini version of a combined driving event. There's still dressage and cones, and they're both held on the same day. So on April 30th, which is a Saturday, the competitors would drive their dressage test, and then when they leave their dressage test, they go right to their cones course. And then on Sunday, we'll be holding just the Section E part of the marathon, which is the section that has the hazards in it. The other reason why we decided to do a horse driving trial and not a full combined driving event was after the winter that we had up here, a lot of people didn't get a chance to keep their driving horses conditioned. So to have a three-section marathon would be a little bit, we were afraid we wouldn't be getting the entries that we would like just because people would steer away from it a little bit knowing that their horses weren't in condition for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you guys did have a bad, bad winter there in Jersey this year, for sure.
Yes, we did. And the thing with driving horses is, you can go to an indoor, but it's really not the same. They really need to work on long, flat straightaways and some hills and everything else to be able to, build up to be able to compete at the level that the three-day combined driving event would offer. So,
now, is there anything else going on during the event? Is there other activities or things like that?
We're having some vendors, and I really didn't this year, since this is the first year that Gladstone is going to be back again on the venue after 2 years. We did 2 years ago for financial and date, just not being able to get the right dates. They did not have a show for 2 years there. So since this being the first year, I didn't want to invite too many vendors or have too many things before I can see what kind of spectator turnout we're going to get. Next year, they are planning on going back to a three-day FEI level combined driving event at Gladstone, but that will also probably be, I would imagine, at a later date. So it would give the chance, to have the footing and everyone have their horses in better shape. But for this year, unfortunately, I am going to just have some vendors there, and there will be a food truck there. But we don't really have any other activities. But the admission is free. We're not charging anything. It's a nonprofit organization, so. We just want to try to get people out, even non-horsey people, to come and see the event. It's so much fun to watch.
And this is on April 30th, and I got to say that I can't think of a more beautiful place to watch a driving event than Gladstone. That's just perfect when it comes to scenery. If you're anywhere near New Jersey, and it's April 30th, right?
April 30th and May 1st. It's Saturday and a Sunday.
And is there a website people can go to?
There sure is. It's www.gladstonedriving.org.
All right. So that's
Amy?
Gladstone. Yep.
I have one last question, though. I have to ask this for personal reasons. At the facility, are the USET barns still there?
The USET barns are still there. They are.
Okay. This is it, folks. It's free admission. It's free.
Right, exactly.
You need to,
exactly.
If you're not coming to Rolex, you need to go to this event, bring your camera just to see the freaking barn.
Barn. And
I got
and
to compete there once a very long time
ring.
Ago, and I got to stable my horse in that barn, and it was like, I still get goosebumps.
You know that that barn was the barn that was moved, used in the original movie of Arthur.
Really?
And, yes, when him and Liz were out in the barn talking, it was towards the end of the movie, that was the USET barn.
Well, there you go. It, the barn is
And,
just,
of course, they're remaking Arthur right now. It's coming out, so.
right.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Well, thank you very much, Amy. We appreciate you being on at the Gladstone Driving Event. Check it out on April the 30th in Gladstone in New Jersey. We appreciate you being on.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Well, there you go. There's another thing you can do if you're not coming to Rolex and you live up in the Northeast. It'd be a fun weekend. Jamie, did you see that that Robert posted for you on Facebook there?
I did
he
not.
Said next, so now, Jamie, you can buy part of a saddle at Rolex with your $800.
Well, see, but actually it would be a part of a saddle because I only got $400 because we split it.
That's good.
I might have gone out yesterday and bought a new dressage whip and a new saddle pad. So that's even less money.
Boy, you're burning through that, girl.
It was only like $25 for both. So I got a good deal. And the reason that I needed the dressage whip is because, well, my last one was broken. And my during my riding lesson on Friday, she said that I'm going to need to go out and get one. The reason it's broken is because I am one of those people that when you walk around, you stick your whip in your back pocket, upwards. So you stick the whip in the back pocket and it kind of goes up your spine. Probably not safe, but I don't ride with it like that. So I had my whip in my back pocket and my warm blood finds it a very funny game to grab whatever is sticking out of my pocket and bite down on it. So this is the third dressage whip that he has removed out of my back pocket with his teeth, biting down hard enough to snap it in half. So, yeah. You think I would learn, but no.
You need
I
to start
board.
Buying them by the case, Jamie. You need a case of it.
I just need to not put it in my pocket like an idiot.
We need a whip sponsor so that we got that covered. Hey, did you take your lesson? Who did you take a lesson with again?
Okay, so on Friday I went to Scottsdale, Arizona, which the only reason I would go to Scottsdale, Arizona is for a horse thing because it's kind of like you're like downtown LA. It's like the very swanky part of town. But the outskirts of Scottsdale are really nice farms. And there's a woman named Barb Crabo who she competed in Rolex last year and she keeps she has a farm up there. It's like 10-acre place, fantastic facility, and one of my friends boards out there and told me, you need to come and have a lesson. So I've been wanting to this thoroughbred that we rescued, Jet, who has had, you know, the worst life, and he's been a major challenge for me, has actually been doing pretty well. So I wanted to take him up there. And, you know, part of it just being put him on a trailer, drive him somewhere, take him off, ride him, put him back on a trailer, like the practice of going places. So I put him on the trailer, drove him all the way up to Scottsdale. I took my warm blood with him, too. He's a bit of a babysitter. And took him out there for a riding lesson. And my goal has been, because I have to have a goal. I have to have something to do, otherwise I'd lose motivation. So I had this goal. Coconino Horse Trials is coming up, I think, in June. But before that, 2 weeks before, not at all planning on going to the horse trials with my very green horse who still like has a hard time going forward like when you put your leg on. So I decided to take him to the Coconino Horse Trials fundraiser, which is 2 weeks before the horse trials. And what it is, it's every riding instructor from this area comes to Coconino and does riding lessons, like clinics, cross-country clinics. And you can ride in any level, and they donate their time, and then you pay, you know, a couple hundred bucks for the whole weekend of riding, and all that money goes to the Coconino Horse Trials. So it's a charity thing. It's a fundraiser thing, and I figure, well, at least I'll get him out on a cross-country course, maybe jump one or two fences. It'll be a good weekend, good experience. So I signed up for it. So that's been my goal. So I take my lesson with Barb, and, you know, I think what I really needed was just somebody to encourage me to get a little more aggressive with him. Because he's had such a horrible life, if those who don't know, he was starved. Actually, before that, he was a racehorse. Then he was part of an illegal gambling ring, match races in the desert. Then he was tied to a swing set and starved for 3 months. Then he was confiscated by the sheriff's department, where he lived in a jail for a year and a half before I got him. So issues galore. Like, if I was to sell the horse, they would have to come back with a separate horse trailer for just the baggage that comes along with this horse. So it's true. He's got so many issues. So I take him for the lesson, and she actually was very helpful. I think what I am is I'm way too nice with him because of all that baggage, and I'm like, instead of go do this now, I'm like, will you please trot now, please? Oh, you don't want to? Okay, that's fine. And it's funny because I'm typically a pretty aggressive rider, except with this horse. I'm a little bit timid around him, and I don't want to make him mad. So I just wanted her to whip me into shape, you know, knock me in the head and go, ride the dang horse. Jed learned what a dressage whip was this past Friday, which is why I had to go out and buy a new one. And he did so good. Walk, trot, canter, around some jumps. We didn't jump anything this time, but she has encouraged me to come back this coming Friday and take a jumping lesson, where this week was just kind of all about letting him get out and see places. He was so calm. He was totally didn't spook at anything. It was windy. There's weed whackers going. There's tractors rolling by. And he was so calm and so good that she has decided that, no, I am not going to just do the Coconino fundraiser. She has told me that I will be doing the Coconino horse trials in June. What? I'm like, I can't even get him to canter. She's like, come back once a week. By then, you'll be fine. I was like, I don't want to be embarrassed. She's like, you won't embarrass yourself. Bring him back once a week for a riding lesson, and we will have him going by June to the Coconino horse trials. So I'm announcing it here. It's my goal.
She's right. What would you tell your students? You'd tell them the same thing.
I'd say, shut up and do it.
That's right.
I know,
sounds
but
like
it's
you needed
different.
You needed a shut up and do it, didn't you? You really needed that.
Yeah, I kind of did. So I'm like nervous even telling you this right now because it gives me butterflies in my tummy. This horse, like I told her, I said, one of the problems that I have with him is because I try to be so nice and he's had such a bad life that I think he's going to get mad. And I feel it sometimes. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm pushing that line. I'm pushing the line. And I just feel like he's going to explode. She's like, well, you know, let's push him and see what happens. Well, he exploded at one point. She's like, keep tapping him with the whip because he wouldn't go forward. You put your leg on and it's like, I mean, my heart rate gets up to like 180, just kicking, 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 push, 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 push. Jennifer, I'm sure you've ridden a horse or two like that before where
yeah.
You just had to work so darn hard to keep him going.
Yeah.
She's like, you're going to stop working so hard. You've got a dressage whip. Every time he slows down, tap him.
Yep.
Every time you feel like you need to cluck, tap him with the whip. Well, I was like, cluck, 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 cluck. She's like, tap him with the whip. And keep tapping until he keeps going. And so I keep tapping him, and all of a sudden, he erupted, double barrel out back. You know, he's a little bit spoiled now. He kicks out, and her eyes are as big as saucers. She's like, wasn't expecting that one. And I was like, woo, me neither. She's like, keep tapping him. So if that was the worst of his explosion, I can handle it, and it will be okay, and we'll get him through it. I rode him yesterday, and he was an angel. He went on his first trail ride in the desert. I'm getting my confidence back on this horse, and by God, we're going to compete someday, potentially in June. At the
I was going to say, in June. It sounds like a good time to go visit Jamie, Jennifer.
Oh, Lord. Because that's the pressure I need. Not only am I taking a green horse who will not canter when I say canter, much less, you know, has he ever seen a cross-country jump, that's a good idea. Let's broadcast live. Let's do that.
We'll get play-by-play of your test. And
Lord.
And Jamie's now in the next county with her horse. There's a jump over there somewhere. She could probably catch that on the way back to the cross-country course.
We have a rider lost on course, and when we say lost, she didn't go the wrong way. No, we actually lost her.
We can't find her. She's completely missing.
She's gone. They've just entered California. So, yeah, that is my goal. That was my riding lesson. It was very inspirational, and I will be going back this Friday to Barb Crabo's up in Scottsdale, Arizona, and find out if my horse is going to jump, because now it's jumping. And I've jumped him a little bit, but it's time to step it up.
Oh boy.
Well, if you're going to do an event, jumping's kind of part of it. So.
Yeah, they don't let you go around them. I don't want to do this one. I'm going to go around it.
Yeah, just skip this one, skip that one. Let's just skip them all. Let's do an obstacle course instead.
So
you could do
that
weave
was my
pole.
Exciting weekend, winning money at the casino and spending it on riding lessons. There you go.
Well, it does sound like fun, though. I mean, anytime you win at the casino, especially if you win at blackjack. I've only had one time where I really won a lot of money like that, and that was in Atlantic City before I met Jennifer, and just won a ton of money. And
you notice how quick
you know,
it was to qualify that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I did think about that before I said it, or after I said it, actually.
I just think
anyway,
it's funny that... Yeah, the last time Chad and I went to a casino, he pulled out $100, and we were at a wedding down in Louisiana, and there's a casino, and he goes in the casino, he's like, let's just take out $100, see what we can do. Honest to God, 4.5 minutes later, we're walking out of the casino. I was like, that was fun. Good time.
Well, part of the problem they have with blackjack nowadays, you go to casinos anytime, you know, afternoon or evening, and you can't find a $5 table. They're all $10 and $15 minimum bets now. And I'll tell you what, your $100 will go real quick at $10 a shot.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. But see, what you have to think about is you have to go to the most remote Native American Indian casino, which the quality of patrons, there was plenty of $5 tables. I was overdressed and I was wearing jeans. I wasn't in my sweatpants.
When I go to Vegas, I gamble in early in the mornings because, I get up early. So I'm like at 5 o'clock down there. There's nobody in the casino, but they have like $2 tables. So I can play for hours on my $2 tables. Do you find the slots extremely boring?
Slots? Oh, yeah, I never play those.
Yeah, just so boring. I like blackjack because you get to make a decision. You actually get to decide something.
And it's not all like you, because there's people around you who are making decisions too, and that can completely affect you. And it's like you want to cuss the guy out sitting next to you, and then the next time he takes the bus card from you, you know? It can be exciting. It's way more fun. And then that whole roulette thing, I don't even understand.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer won at roulette once. Last time we were together in Vegas, she played one. She actually just once a day on the way through the casino would play something. And every morning she played one time, one different thing, different game every day on the way through the casino on her way out to do other stuff. And she won every time. She actually bought our food every day by doing that. And she went through roulette and put her chip down on one number. That number won, and we ended up winning like $40. So, and then she played, you know, those big, great big slot machines that the huge ones that are there for promotion more than anything with the great big handles. Well, she won $50, put a dollar in one of those, won $50 the one day on our way through. She's actually very lucky, but she only plays one thing a day, one play a day.
That's all.
That's it. Is amazing self-control.
Well, I choose my betting options similarly to the racetrack. Unfortunately, at the racetrack, it never works. You bet on the pretty horse, one with a cute jockey, something like that. So you walk through the casino and you pick the biggest, shiniest machine or the really good-looking pit boss or completely stupid, random crap.
Nice. I like that. I like that. Pick the hot guy, the hot dealer.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can find one.
They're hard to find in some casinos. You're right.
All
I wonder
right,
if they've ever thought about the fact that they could really improve the 35 to 60 female demographic by having a younger male dealers in there. I wonder if they ever thought about that.
Probably not going to make a lot of money.
In G-string. All right. And
oh,
thought,
man.
Well, we're going to take a break. Templeton Thompson's going to help us out here. This song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, wormings, farrier, and dentist visits together. Or, like today, we're going to be doing the what's that called, Jennifer? The thing for Beaker that you're buying today?
The thing for Beaker that I'm. You mean his spot on fly treatment?
Spot on fly treatment. Keep track of that too. And of course, you can track weight and reminders of important events like vaccines, wormers, ferry visits, things like that. You can do it all with your Pocket Stable app right on your iPhone. You can find it in the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. I think it's appropriate for a little life on Planet Cowgirl today with Templeton Thompson.
Dreaming big and working hard and having faith, making sure you make the most of every breath you take, and knowing that today ain't just another day going by. And it's living every moment in the here and now, knowing that there's blue skies back behind the clouds. Never saying never, 'cause that just ain't how you ride. That's life on Planet Cowgirl. I'm grateful every day that I get to call. Flying and wholeheartedly.
cowgirl with Templeton Thompson. You can find her at templetonthompson.com. All of her music can be purchased over there. We appreciate your support of the musicians that we have on the show. And if you missed Friday's show, take a listen. Go back and take a listen to Friday's show. We had a special musical episode, and I think you'll enjoy that one. If you missed that on Friday, you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and listen to that as well. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. This is sponsored today by Omega Alpha. You can visit them at omegaalpha.ca. And I am here with Janie Jennings and my lovely wife, Jennifer.
Yeah, and I want to remind everybody that we have our favorite time of the week is Friday afternoons. We get a little punchy. It's Friday. You know, we've been getting up early all week long, just slaving, you know, over this job. And we need your help. Is what it boils down to. We want to you to go on to your Craigslist, your horse shopping, wherever you find horse ads, and find the really bad ads. It's the Friday edition of Really Bad Ads coming up, and we need some submissions. Everybody who submits something, you know, we do appreciate it. One person will actually win a coveted prize. I don't know what that prize is for this week, but last week they got, or 2 weeks ago, got Spursuaters. We didn't do it last Friday, but you will hear a little bit more about this as the week goes along, because we're going to play some of the ones from a couple weeks ago. You can send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and, you know, I mean, anything like one ad we read was looking for a Percheron will trade for guns. You know, I mean, ridiculousness like that, or really bad spelling, or I hate it when they do all capital letters, and or they do all caps, and it sounds like they're yelling at you, buy my horse! So
buy it now!
Stop yelling at me, and maybe I would, but I can't because you're yelling.
All right, that's great, and that'll be, of course, coming up on Friday. So get your entries in to Jennifer, that's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at horseradionetwork.com. Just email them in. We'd rather have you email them to us than post them on Facebook, just because it's easier for us to keep track of them all that way and to make sure they get into Friday's segment. Well, it is time for our Monday segment, the Weekend Roundup.
It's time for the Weekend Roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
And this is the time on every Monday where we review the news stories from the weekend. And if you would like to give us a call at 347-637-3238, we would love to hear if you did something fun over the weekend, horse-related. We've been telling you about our weekend. Let's hear about yours as well. Just give us a call anytime in the next half hour, and we would love to hear from you. Well, Janie, what's your first story of the day?
Well, you know, it's actually a really big story for the racehorse world, and kind of sad, too. It's the end of an era. You know, when the whole thing about Zenyatta getting bred and picking a baby daddy for Zenyatta, there was one horse that I, along with several listeners, were really pushing for and vying for, and that was AP Indy. Now, she ended up going on to get bred to Bernardini, which is a son of AP Indy, so they're keeping in that line. But AP Indy has now been retired as of this year. He apparently, at the age of 22, is just not able to continue in his line of work as a breeding stallion. He bred more than 25 mares so far this season, and none of them were in foal. So, you know, it's a sad day for, you know, the farm. It's a sad day for Lane's End and the owners and the management, because they also lost King Mambo this year, too, as far as breeding. So AP Indy, the end of an era, because he was Horse of the Year champion, won the Belmont Breeders' Cup, Santa Anita, huge, awesome racehorse, and it's been standing. I mean, he has sired 135 stakes winners, including Mineshaft, Bernardini, Rags to Riches. His son sired Rags to Riches. So he's been an amazing breeding stallion, and it's sad that he's retired, but at least he'll continue to live in the same stall at Lane's End Farm And maybe he'll get to hang out with Zenyatta a little bit, because that's where she is.
Well, and maybe that's why Zenyatta didn't visit him a couple months ago. That's probably the reason why. You know, I hope he ends up actually at the Hall of Champions over at the horse park, because there's been some really cool horses over there over the years, and they need somebody like AP Indy over there now. So maybe someday that'll happen as well. Well, the next story is not it has to do with races, but it's kind of a what not to wear moment when you go to races. Let's just say there was a lot of what not to wear moments, and this was in England. And it was at one of the races in England, and I have posted a link to it on our Facebook page now, and you can go to that story and you can take a look at some of the pictures and some of the things that you just should not wear. Some of them were so bad that the police actually escorted the people off the grounds, the ladies. So apparently cleavage is in this year at the races in England, and let's just say go to the Facebook page and click on the link. And yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm looking at. What is that exactly?
Well, it was at Liverpool Bay at Aintree in England, and some of the outfits were, let's just say, interesting. It looked more like they were at Mardi Gras, maybe. And flowers seemed to be in prints. Big, bold colors and prints seemed to be in, and lots of cleavage. Lots of cleavage and other things.
I'm looking at this. Okay, have you guys ever been to, let's see, what can I relate this to?
Keeneland, but that's classy. I mean, they wear the hats and they wear the nice dresses.
Have you ever, okay, here we go. Have you ever stuck a microwave, a hot dog in the microwave and turned it on for a minute, way overcooking the hot dog, and it busts out of its shell casing, pouring pieces of hot dogs everywhere, and the whole thing ends up not at all hot dog shaped. That's kind of what a lot of these outfits look like, is that you microwaved a hot dog for a very long time and it exploded. Oh, Lord, there's somebody in chaps only. Oh, God.
And that's coming from the girls of vegetarian, so there you go.
veggie hot tofu dogs. Microwave and tofu. There is some fantastic awesomeness on here, and thank God I didn't go, because I would have been totally out of style, because I would be wearing clothes.
You would have been wearing, your cleavage wouldn't have been popping out at all. So, well, that was my contribution. Next.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm still looking at that. Holy moly. Yeah, click on that link, you guys. It's the Grand National 2011 eye-popping fashion, and also boob-popping fashion.
Robert works in theater and knows a lot about fashion because he works in theater. We want to know your opinion on that, on the current fashion in England at the races. So let us know, Robert, what you think.
Fantastic. Okay, let's see. Where do I go with that after that? I want to tell you about the next Zenyatta, actually, is a mare, and she is over in Australia, and I think her name is I can't decide whether I like it or not, but it definitely stands out. Her name is Black Caviar. Black Caviar is a mare that is almost like she could be the next Zenyatta. I'm trying to see how many races she has won in a row. She's a sprinter, so she doesn't run in super long races, but I think she's completely undefeated right now and has won 5, 6, 7, 8 races in a row undefeated. And she is an Australian mare, and I love that the article that I found about her, which was in the Blood Horse and also in the UK magazines and Australian magazines, she says that they say that Black Caviar is too good for Australia only. We should share her with the world. And it was just released that she has been invited to the 2011 Breeders' Cup. She is already qualified for the Breeders' Cup, which takes place in the fall. That's how good this horse is. So I hope we get to see Black Caviar in the United States. Apparently, the fact that she's already qualified, they pay for her to be shipped over here. So they have no excuse. Black caviar coming here, mark my words, for the Breeders' Cup in the fall.
Where are they running the Breeders' Cup this year? Where's it at?
I don't know. It's usually Kentucky or California. It was in Kentucky this year, right? It was in Louisville.
I'm looking it up. Let's see here.
It looks like it's
at Churchill Downs again this year.
Yes. Cool.
Yep. So it'll be at Churchill Downs again this year. We should be broadcasting live from the Breeders' Cup. Now, that'd be fun.
I think we should totally do it. I think we should absolutely do it. Let's see. I'm just trying to find out how many races she's run in a row.
They can give us a stall in the drug testing barn to use.
Put us in the back.
Put us in the backside.
All right. So, and after, follow that up with this has nothing to do with racing. Here is the couple of the equestrians. The official invitations are now out for the royal wedding that's going to be held at the end of this month. And Prince William and Kate Middleton have invited a total of 6, get this, Jamie, of their ex-partners to the royal wedding.
What?
So how many of, 6. While the Prince of Wales embraced the world of high finance and international politics when sending out invitations, the 250 guests jointly chosen by the royal couple, together with 100 guests invited by Carrie's parents, include a football club chairman, a famous comedian, a yoga teacher, all of William's ex-girlfriends, along with 2 of Kate's rumored former flames. So how many of your ex-boyfriends did you invite to your wedding?
Okay, first of all, shut the front door. I would never have an ex at a wedding. Are you kidding me? I mean, that is like the worst thing I have ever heard. There was no exes at my wedding. That is for sure. Not that I was ever, you know, dated anybody. I married the first man that I ever fell in love
with.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
But yes. but no, you don't invite your exes to your wedding, do you? Really? Did you guys
have
any exes?
Apparently, when you're
royal,
you do. You know what, though? They date in a small, it's a small world. You're bound to be inviting people that you've dated because that whole world's pretty small. So they're going to have families and friends and relatives and things that they end up inviting that, let's just leave it at that. Hey, getting back to who the horse people were that were invited.
Yeah, the horse people. Get to the horse part.
Show jumper Harry Mead and his wife Rosie are invited, along with his brother James, sister Lucy, and parents. Olympic gold medalist Richard Mead and his wife, Angela. William's best friend, Guy Pelly, who organized the Prince's stag party. Can you imagine what that was like? And his parents, Mr. and Mrs. John Pelly, will attend, as will polo-playing brothers Luke and Mark Tomlinson. Mark Tomlinson, polo player, is bringing his girlfriend, who you've heard of, Laura Bechtelsheimer, an equestrian in the British dressage team who did so well at the World Equestrian Games. So there's a few of, now there's a lot of polo players will be there because William plays polo. So that's not all, that's the ones that are non-polo that are invited. Thought I'd bring you up to date on that. And as far as the what to wear at Aintree in England, Robert has weighed in and says, we all make choices when it comes to fashion. I think that's all I can politely say about this spread. I love how he used the word spread. I think there was a lot of implication there. Rick Conley said, do some of these people really think that they look good? And Tamiko says, kind of the opposite of the royal ascot, no? Yes, Tamiko, yes, kind of the opposite. All right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, and I tended to find a bunch of horse racing news because it was such a big weekend in the Derby prep races. And, you know, there were so many horses, and I'm not going to really get too in-depth about this because that is why we have the MIG, our HRTV racing analyst, come on. But there were so many Derby favorites going into this weekend, and so many of them did not do well. To Honor and Serve, who you've probably heard of if you've paid attention at all, ran in the Fazek Tipton, the Florida Derby. He now has a strained suspensory ligament in his left front leg, so possibly not even going to run in the Derby. Then, obviously, Uncle Mo lost this weekend to Toby's Corner. We played the audio earlier. Premier Pegasus, Fusaichi Pegasus' son, that was scheduled to run in the Derby and was also creeping up as a Derby favorite, had a hairline fracture of his left front cannon bone. He's going to be fine, but they are doing surgery on that leg. Jacito, who was another favorite, has been scratched from the Santa Anita. They're not even sure if he'll run in the Derby. This is a Bob Baffert horse that has had some foot problems. So we'll see how that goes. So a ton of horses that were favorites. This is just the way it is leading up to the Kentucky Derby. They come and go. That's why I think it's amazing. Mucho Macho Man fired the fastest work that he has ever breezed this past weekend as well. So he didn't race this weekend, but he worked, which is when they, you know, they basically let him run as fast as they can and see. And I guess Mucho Macho Man's Patty is going to be on next week, his owner, to talk a little bit about that as well. So all of these Derby horses coming on, coming into the weekend, a lot of them hurt. Mucho Macho Man still looking good, obviously, this past weekend as well, when Uncle Mo did not win. He also grabbed himself, so he has a minor injury. So it's going to be an interesting field, to say the least.
All right, and you know how we sometimes talk about the places that are for sale that the celebrities have, that are the equestrian places. Well, I know, but this one's affordable. If we all went together, we could actually buy it. This is
really
Steve McQueen. Remember Steve McQueen, the actor? His ranch is up for sale, and he was in, I guess, one of his most famous movies with Bullet, but he was in a ton of stuff. And his 15.5-acre California ranch is up for sale, and let me tell you, this is affordable, $799,000. We're not talking millions like we were talking the other ones. This is $799,000. McQueen and his third wife were married in the ranch living room back in 1980. Not only that, the ranch comes equipped with a 3-acre equestrian center, an established vineyard, an abundance of fruit trees, a 4,200 square foot airplane hangar, which is what everybody needs, formerly part of the It was once used for Steve McQueen's car and motorcycle collection, so that's what he'd use the hangar for. And the ranch also has an organic vegetable and flower garden, a large koi pool, and a waterfall, along with stunning views. And it's said that every morning McQueen woke up, he made his coffee, and then he flew his yellow Stearman biplane. So it's a pretty place, actually. If you look at I'll put a link up. The pictures of the house are beautiful. I mean, it's not a huge house, but it's a beautiful house.
Where is this in California? I mean, first of all, the equestrian center would be perfect for me. The airplane hangar my husband would love. So where is this?
He could park his F-16. He could fly his F-16 home at night.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. Go ahead. Where is it, though? I want to know. Does it say?
It doesn't say. I'll have to look that up because it doesn't say. It's in California, but it doesn't say where in California.
Where.
The porch
I just
is
want
beautiful.
To know what my commute would be.
So there's my home
I
for sale.
Know. That's fantastic. The views are stunning. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, on the outside of L.A. with all those mountain views. It looks fantastic. Oh, I'll take it. $7.99. I'm going to have to go back to the casino a couple times before... before I can afford it, and I should probably step it up from those $5 tables. a happy horse racing story. Uncle Mo, we talked about his owner, Mike Rapoli, a little bit earlier. He actually is trying to do right by the racehorses. I think this guy is going to be so great. Obviously, Mike Rapoli is the creator, one of the creators of Vitamin Water. That's why his other horse's name is Stay Thirsty, which I think is great. but he actually really has a lot of support for Thoroughbred Retirement. And they told this story of this horse that he had run His horse's name was Cool and Collective, a veteran gelding that ran until he was 13 years old. Micropoli had the horse. He was then claimed away in a claiming race. He bought the horse back. The horse was then claimed again. He bought the horse back. The horse was then claimed again. And finally, the horse was 13 years old. Micropoli decided to buy the horse back one final time, and he privately bought the horse and sent him to a retirement facility. I'm trying to see which one it is. The Old Friends at Cabin Creek. And so this horse that worked so hard for so many different owners ran in 80 starts. Only 12 of those. Only 12 of those for Mike. And he ended up buying him back at the end of his career and retired him to Old Friends. Round of applause. Round of applause for Uncle Mojo. That's awesome. That's doing right. This horse it deserves a good retirement. And, you know, a daily whinny goes out to you, Mike. There you go. You'll have to play it.
All right, cool. Hey, have I been living under a rock? Do you know, have you heard of horse tripping?
What?
Horse tripping. And Nevada lawmakers are considering legislation that would ban horse tripping, a rodeo event in which a horse is released into an area and pursued by a person on foot or on horseback who ropes the animal's front or back legs, causing it to fall to the ground. In rodeos throughout the state, the event is typically associated with traditional Mexican-style rodeos or other Mexican events. I'll tell you what, I'm all for that. Doesn't sound like something I'd want to deal with. Let's ask, hey, guess who's on the line? Perfect timing, Alan. This is Alan Moorhead of the Western Radio Show. So have I been living under a rock? Is horse tripping very popular with rodeos?
No, only south of the border. They do that a lot at the Vaquero rodeos, yeah.
That sounds nasty.
Well, it's not really, because they'll run, what they do is, and you can go to YouTube, there's several videos on YouTube of it. It won't actually show the trip of the horse, but a lot of times what those Vaqueros do, the Charros, they'll run a horse bareback around the arena and the Charro will be doing some rope tricks, and they use a 50-foot heavy rope. I mean, it's a grass rope, McGotty they call it, and he'll make a horse catch, and a lot of times they'll have that rope at the tail tied around their waist, and just as it goes to pop slack, they'll lay back, and what it'll do is just kind of just pull that horse down for a second. It's just a way to catch a horse, to get on them. It's just something that the Mexicans like to do. And like I said, the majority of it's done when they're on their feet and on the ground, and more often than not, the Mexican can get hurt worse than the horse can.
Well, good, because I still think it's kind of nasty. So I'm sticking with that.
And they also still do in those competitions down there the tailing of the bull. It's a deal to where they'll start a bull up the rail and they ride up behind him off to his flank there to hip. And the Charro will reach down and grab his tail. Doesn't have a rope or anything. He'll reach down and grab his tail and pull it up and dally off, take a half a turn around the saddle horn with the end of the bull's tail, and then turn to the left and spin him around. And that was just a way to kind of capture some wild bulls and things like that at the time. And that doesn't really hurt them either. What it does, it just swap the tail end around, and they go down, and they try to drop them in a certain box. And there's some YouTube video of that online as well that I've seen before. It's kind of exciting to watch. I don't know that I'd want to do it, but it's another event that they do south of the border, and they get away with it, and it works for them.
That sounds insane. I'll tell you something else, living here in Arizona, you know, having a horse that was part of the illegal gambling ring of match races in the desert, I have literally seen, and you just, you see it, and you're like, you're driving by and you do one of those whiplash double takes because you cannot believe that you're actually seeing this. I have seen three guys on clearly thoroughbred racehorses riding down the road. There's like a huge field at the end of this road. These guys have no helmets on. They're all on racehorses and they're wearing seat belts. Like belts that go around the horse and over their lap and around their back, so they will not come off these horses. And this is, again, a very south of the border style, I guess. And have you ever heard of that? They strap themselves on these racehorses so they don't fall
off. Yeah. Well, that way they can be there at the end of the race and win. Some of the guns, I mean, that's just bush racing, and it's done all over the place. I mean, you just gather up at a big field and run across the field, and the first one there wins it. And it's not as prevalent as it used to be over here on the East Coast anyway, but there's still some folks that gather around, and they've always called it bush racing. You just go race through the brush and try to win some money. But, yeah, those guys, the Mexicans, they have a different style for everything, and the Mexican bull riding, it's a whole lot different as well, because, like, we use smooth rowels in our bull riding in the United States of America, and they have what they call fish hooks, and their spur rowels are locked in, and it has three little hooks that come up, and they're probably an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch long, and they're razor sharp, and when they pull themselves on the bull, they put them up there in the gird area, and they don't come off. They ride a lot of times with no hands. I mean, when they get them locked in, they'll just start flopping around, and it's not about getting bucked off, but, and when you think about how thick a bullhide is, it might sting them a little bit, but I don't know that it really hurts them or whatnot, but that's just another of the Mexican style of deals. And I've seen some of them Mexicans get cow-killed in the cotton picking arena, too. I mean, chili-whopped. And they have to drag them out more often than they have to drag the bulls out, that's for sure. Matter of fact, I've never seen a bull drug out of one of those deals. And
I'm not okay with any of this. This all sounds horrible.
Hey, Alan.
I think I'm going to go out and...
It's not bueno, huh?
Let me change the topic off of all this nasty stuff. I went to see... We went to Equine Affair, and we got to see what Tammy does for the first time, the mounted shooting. What fun that was. That was a riot.
Yeah, did you get to get on one?
No. There was just a demonstration, but it was fun to watch. And it was really cute because apparently the little kids under 13 aren't allowed to ride and shoot at the same time. So they actually put up the targets, and they stand there. They stand on the ground, and they shoot targets from the ground. So it was really cute seeing these little girls with their great big guns shooting the targets. But it was fun to watch. We had a good time.
Well, cool. Hey, you know, you were talking about those gals over in England at that race and things like that. And before I get into my weekend news, I've got to share. Have you ever heard of www.peopleofwalmart.com?
Oh, yeah.
Same kind of deal. Same thing. Go there today, and on the third page of their pictures, there's one titled Oompa Loompa Doompity Don't. I just happened to say, I don't know where that came from.
I think Jamie's hung up now.
No, she's gonna stick with it. She's gonna stick with it. But and you know, y'all got all the cool news of racehorses and those that wear the fancy rock watches, those $10,000, $20,000 Rolexes and things like that. But I got to, which I've known this guy forever and ever. We've been friends for a long, long time, and we've worked a lot of rodeos together. And one day, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, I heard you have him on your show, Rockin' Robbie Hodges. He and I worked together this weekend. And I mean, he was asking me about that gal that works in the same deal I do up there. That was as cute as a box of Oompa Loompas. I mean, a bucket of ducks is what it was. Yeah,
a bucket of ducks, baby.
Yeah. Hey, I said, yeah, she's a sweet little Georgia Bulldog. I saw a picture of her with a Georgia Bulldog hat on one time. But hey, the Georgia Bulldog equestrian team later this month, they've got the Equestrian Nationals down in Waco, Texas, and they're looking to win their sixth national title in the NCAA equestrian events, and I like to wish all my dog girls good luck when they go down there.
Go dogs!
Yeah, absolutely. And when they win that thing, I'll get them hooked up with you. Y'all can have them on the show. I had a PBR this last weekend in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and Casey Hayes, Liberal, Kansas. I mean, he just shellacked them all weekend long. Rode four, won the average on the weekend. Robson Arguello, the guy we call Spider-Man, he's the Brazilian that has all the spider webbing across his shafts and vest. He finished up like third for the weekend. We had a big time at the PBR. Well, that's my weekend news. Rockin' Robbie Hodges and the PBR and a bunch of good bulls and a bunch of good bull riders. And
well, we loved he was so much fun. I'll tell you what, the particular rodeo we went to was kind of small over here in Lexington, and it would not have been half as fun if it weren't for Rockin' Robbie there.
Oh, well, half of the fun is at the bar. I mean, when you go out to eat afterwards or something like that, and you know, we're not drinkers or nothing like that in rodeo or anything like that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're all vegetarian.
Exactly right. There was no cassette. Yeah, barley and hops. That's a vegetable, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the kind of vegetarian I am too, Alan. So I'm with you on that.
Squeeze it out and cook it down. There you go.
All right,
well,
Alan. Thanks for calling.
All right, you bet. Y'all have a good day.
All right, thanks, Alan.
You know.
All right, I think that's we're gonna have to wrap here.
Wait, that's a world record because that's the first time that Alan calling in has not made me mad. Maybe it's just Monday and I'm just don't care anymore. But
maybe all those Oompa Loompa references didn't make you mad.
Yeah, I'm over it. The whole Oompa Loompa thing, you know, whatever. I am cuter than a bucket of ducks, according to Rock and Robbie, and that was brought up, so I'm happy. Who says that?
Well,
who's cuter than a bucket of baby ducks or what? Okay, good times.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, and we appreciate it. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. I cannot wait to record Tack and Have It tomorrow because I found something over the weekend that we're going to be talking about. And you can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And absolutely, if you missed the live show, listen to the recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss one. We will be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, and I've got a story that you will want to hear. You won't believe it when you see the pictures. All right, goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmets and be safe.